Praise the Lord. The sower soweth the word. Amen. And that's my job here this morning. Sow some seed. Whether you get it or not is up to you. How's that? You know, Jesus said several times, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So what you do with what you hear is up to you. Amen. There's different kind of hearts out there that we sow the seed in. I believe you are all good harvesting hearts here today. Amen. My last conversation with Pastor Bill was a few days before he passed and got his reward. Amen. He said, you know, he said, talked about healing. He says he wanted to hit this church to be a healing center. I believe he was saying that from his heart because he didn't want you to go through all the stuff he was going through. And I don't have any special insights in healing except the things I've learned from other people. And I do thank God for my heritage. I was raised in a home where we never took medicine. We didn't go to doctors. In fact, they basically preached it was a sin. way over in the other extreme, you know what I mean? I thank God for the heritage for the fact I had a grandmother who was 86 when she passed. She never had any medicine in her whole life. And there's a place for us. We can have that in God if we're willing to hear and to, you know, and not follow the world's system. If you turn television, all they're doing is pushing this drug and pushing that drug. And if you take this or you don't take that, or you take this, you have all these side effects. I always said, man, sometimes it'd be better just to have the disease and the stuff that goes on. But thank God there's a place we can come to trust in God as our healer. And I try to live by faith. You know, that word live means to stay alive. You need to live by faith. And I thank God for my heritage, again, that we were raised that way. I later on learned that, you know, it's not a sin to take medicine. Amen. It's when we start trusting in those things and trusting in the doctor more than you trust in God, we get ourselves in trouble. How many realize that medicine, they practice medicine? You know, they practice on you. We're all guinea pigs. And I just wish there wasn't so much money to be made out there. Maybe they'd be a little, I don't know. We'll get off the subject. But anyhow, I'm here to give you, if you go to Exodus chapter 15 with me here this morning. Exodus chapter 15. I want to share some good things that will help you to live by faith and to stay alive by faith. And because the enemy doesn't want you to enjoy life. He wants you to be sick and diseased. But I found out that God's word claims something else. Now, we may not all experience it 100-fold. You know, you get 30, 60, and 100-fold of what you hear. Amen. I want to get 100-fold, the maximum return, especially when it comes to healing. I don't like being sick. I was in the hospital. I didn't like being in the hospital. They didn't get any... didn't gain any favor in my life. Thank God they helped at that particular point in my life. My faith level was low, evidently. But anyhow, I'm alive here today, and I want to share some good news with you. Paul said, you know, woe is me if I can't preach the gospel. And I get the opportunity to preach the good news. Amen? Good news is something that you want to jump up in the air and turn about and do a spin. That's what it means. We get excited when we hear the good news. Enough bad news out there, amen. And so I want to answer some questions you may have, because if you don't have some answers to some of your questions, you it can keep you from receiving what God has already provided for us through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Amen. Have you found Exodus 15 by now? You could have turned your page one by one. They've been there by now. Verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. I have a friend of mine, an Ohio pastor. Every time you go out to eat with him, he prays this over his food. Be a good prayer to pray over your food. Amen. I believe we get a lot of stuff, disease and stuff from stuff we eat. Amen. He says, he shall bless your bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land, the number of the days I will fulfill. There's a promise there in the Old Testament that God was going to be their healer. In fact, in Hebrews 13:8, It says Jesus Christ the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that spoke this to the Israelites has spoken it again to us through Jesus. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says we have a better covenant with better promises. So anything I see in the Old Testament, I got something even better. I got Jesus who's going to back it up and make sure it comes to pass in my life. Amen? And like it says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that what? We may prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. And that's where we have trouble in our soul. That's our mind, our intellect, our feelings, our emotional realm. We got to get that renewed. Amen? Not removed, but renewed. And again, we're trained by the world system. Everybody gets sick. Everybody has to die with a disease. You know, I don't believe that's God's way. God wants us to fulfill our days. Amen? And I'll say this again. I've said it many times. I don't base my faith on what happens to you or anybody that I know. It's according to your faith or the faith that I have that will bring these results in my life. So I've learned to feed my faith. When I went through some things here a few years ago when I was in the hospital and they gave me a bad report, I mean bad report, I began to saturate myself with the scriptures on healing. We found some teaching tapes on, why can't I think of his name? Andrew Womack has some great teaching on healing. Another guy did a healing school at Rhema for many years. Keith Moore. I'm just throwing these names out. They have some. You get it online. You go to YouTube. Why? It's good stuff about healing. I needed that. I needed to refresh myself on what God said about my circumstances because the doctors were giving me very negative reports. And I had to make some choices of what I was going to believe. I remember my wife and I walked out of the doctor's office and she says, what are we going to do now? I said, we're just going to believe God. I'm going to trust in Him. We're going to get through this thing. And we're still alive. Amen. And I'm still living by faith. Amen. But when I found out years ago that sickness and disease was oppression from the devil, you know, that's what the Bible calls it in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and He went about healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. I look at sickness and disease as oppression in different levels. You understand? There's some levels that'll kill you. There's some levels of oppression just make you not feel good. But the whole design of sickness and disease is to take you out, to hinder you from preaching the gospel. You know, that's why He wishes above all things we'd prosper, so we have money, we can go preach the gospel, and we'd be in health, so we feel good and do it. Because if you're sick, you don't feel like traveling. Amen? So Jesus provided both of those things when He hung on that cross. He became poor that we might become rich. He laid aside all His wealth, His earthly things, and He had nothing. Even the clothes they took from Him and gambled over Him. He became poor that we might become what? Rich. You know that's a verse in the Bible?
Absolutely.
All right. Some of you didn't know that. You need to know what the promises are. And He also carried my sicknesses and He bore my pains, it says in the book of Isaiah, when He hung on that cross. I believe He took a stripe on His back for every disease out there. I read a book by Dr. Yeoman, and she was a medical doctor. She said that she learned in medical school that there was, 39 classes of diseases that medical science puts diseases in. And I believe for every stripe, Jesus took one of the diseases and put it upon Himself so that I don't have to have it. Amen, including cancer or whatever. The big ones, you know what I mean? The ones everybody's really afraid of. But thank God for the Word. Amen? Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He didn't say a lack of faith, even though faith comes by knowing some things. But we're destroyed because we don't know. And we need to know. That's why you go to churches like this where you can find out some stuff. Amen? You got an edge over a lot of people that are out there in the world system because we get to know the truth. And truth will make and set you free. In fact, in the Great Commission, what are we supposed to do? We're to what? Lay hands on the sick and they what? Shall recover. So that's part of our ministry as believers to go around and get our hands on people. Yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for the sick, and we can pray, but I usually pray when I'm praying for someone to get healing, I'm praying that the eyes of their spiritual understanding would be enlightened, that they might know what they've received as a saint in this inheritance of light. That sounds like a prayer Paul prayed, doesn't it? See, we need to have a revelation many times because some people, you know, they have a lot of struggle trusting God for healing because they've been taught wrong. Amen. There's a lot of churches you go to, they'll teach you that God teaches you through sickness and disease. And if that's the case, it would be a sin to try to get better, especially if you didn't learn anything. Are you with me? If you just logically look at some things, sometimes you think, that's crazy. Where did this thought come from? But the devil is crazy. He comes up with crazy stuff. Are you with me? God teaches us through his word. Timothy says the word of God is for our instruction in righteousness, for our correction. All right? That's how God corrects me, through his word. Changes the way I think. And we know we have stinking thinking, don't we? Sometimes. But again, I don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in that commission, again, we're to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick. I like to get my hands on people. I'll pray for them. I'll pray that they get some revelation. So when I get there and get my hands on them, they can get the anointing. Because it's anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys. Are you with me? We need to get our hands back on people. Years ago, we were one of the elders and I at church, we were working with the PTL club. Remember PTL club? And we went way back here. And our church was like an outreach for them. And they would give us names of people who called in and they need prayer. And we went to this one lady's house. And we were sharing the gospel. And I said, can we lay our hands on you? She says, what? She didn't know what laying hands meant, you know. And I said, she said, what? She backed off. I said, no, we just want to put our hands on your head and pray for you. But amen. We should get our hands. We should be known as the people who lay hands on you. Because we carry the anointing. If you're a born-again believer, you got the anointing on you as well. You may even have some gifts inside you. That's even better. Amen? I'm moving right along here. But he wants to fulfill our days. Again, Genesis 6, chapter verse 3, he promised man originally 120 years. You ever realize that? 120. We need to lift our sights up a little higher. Amen? Psalms 90 in verse 10, he was reminding the people that he promised them 70 because of their sinfulness. So 70 should be our minimum. How's that? We should at least 70 to 120, somewhere in there. In fact, Psalm 91 says, with long life, I'll what? Satisfy you. So don't go out of here till you're satisfied. How's that? And you may fulfill God's purpose in your life, and there's some people that do. Go off and get the reward early. Amen. That's fine. Amen. But don't go until you're ready. I know I'm swinging you over here real far to get you, because so you can get back here and get focused on some things. Amen. Because sometimes we have a lot of experiential theology in the church. A preacher, something happened to him, so he preaches what happened to him, and everybody expects that's how it is. I don't base my faith, again, on what happened to some preacher or whoever. I base my faith on what God's Word says. Amen. And I'm not going to compromise. You know what you compromise to keep, you lose? Amen. But anyhow, in fact, Psalm 116:15. Let's look at this verse here just more quickly. Psalm 1. You'll hear this one at funerals sometimes. You want to hear a lot of doubt and unbelief, go to some funeral sometime. I like to study words. I'm a word studier. I thank God for these new technology I have, you know, the Bible and my iPad here. And I have this one app. It has the Strong's Concordance. I just touched a word, it gives me strong. Before, when I'd study, I had books all over my desk and stuff. Now I just have my iPad. Everything's there. The internet is pretty neat. But it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I've heard at some funerals where, so-and-so, they were a great administrator, so God took them. He needed them to administrate in heaven. I'm thinking, come on now. If that's the case, I'm going to be a lousy administrator to stay here. All kind of things I've heard at funerals that just aren't biblical. Are you with me? That word precious there means costly. It costs God when we leave this earth too early. It cost him. Because we are an investment that he's put into our life. I know he's invested a lot in my life and your lives. And when you're not here, you can't get anybody healed in heaven. They're already healed. You're not getting anybody saved in heaven. They're already saved. He needs you on this earth to be his hands and his feet and his voice. It costs God when a saint dies. Trying to change your way of thinking, so to speak. And thank God when we saints die, they do go to heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? We win either way, in a sense. But we get to miss our friends and those who have gone on before us. But the older I've gotten, the more people I know over there. How many know what I'm talking about? My wife and I figured out a couple of months ago, I've ministered to over 100 some people that were sat and heard my teaching or that are now in heaven. So when I get there, there's going to be a crowd to welcome me. You know. But anyway, I'm not in a hurry to get there. Amen? God needs me here on this earth. It costs him. How about Psalm 105, verse 37? I know I'm a little bit extreme in my views, but you got to get out of this mindset of the world and the church world, because you'll die before your time. If you follow some things, there's certain preachers I won't listen to. They may have a revelation in a certain area, but when it comes to healing, there's not too many to have a good revelation in healing. Amen. Well, and I pray that they'll get a revelation. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There's prosperity. Amen. And there was not one feeble person amongst their tribe. It's talking about the Israelites leaving Egypt. They were wealthy, amen, prosper, and in health. Not one feeble, not one weak, infirmed. That word feeble means weak or infirmed or sick. They were all healed. Why? How did they all get healed? Because they partook of the Lamb. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
What do we do when we have communion? We participate in taking the Lamb of God through the bread. He's the bread of life. And the blood for forgiveness of sins. When they put that on their doorpost, that angel of death couldn't touch them. At our church now, we take communion every Sunday. Pastor Jonathan took over for me. That's his revelation. I believe it's like Passover, putting that blood on my doorpost. Keeps that death angel away from my household. Amen. You don't have to do it in church. You can do it at home. You understand that? You're all kings and priests. You can serve yourself communion. But anyhow, about 3 million people were healed. Can you imagine that day? Little Aunt Sarah, who had arthritis, could hardly move, you know, and she ate that lamb. She was healed. I think some Jewish names. Little Solomon, who had a broken leg, you know. And all of a sudden, he ate that lamb and his leg was healed. It says none were feeble. The greatest healing service that ever took place when they partook of the Passover lamb, Jesus. Amen. He sent his word and he what? Healed them. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he sent Jesus to heal us. And again, in the Gospels, if you ever read the Gospel, what is Jesus doing? He's healing them all. Everyone, all and everyone are used many times. Because, and remember this, he had the Spirit of God without measure. So he was the embodiment of Christ or the anointment. Today, we are the body of Christ and we have that same anointing. We just got to get our hands on people. And believe God. Amen. In fact, 1 Corinthians 11:29, you can look it up, but it says, in taking communion, he says, for this reason, some of you are weak and sick and dying prematurely because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not seeing what he did for you at the cross. You got to have a revelation. You got to meditate in this stuff. Get your minds renewed. You are the healed. The devil's trying to make sick. And again, I'm not use myself as an example, but I am an example. I was given a death sentence 3 years ago. All the doctors say today is, one doctor used the word miracle the other day. That's cool when you hear a doctor say miracle. And they usually don't want to admit that. And he said, most people don't recover. But I recovered. And you can too. Am I something special? No. The word. Get it in you. Meditate on it day and night. It'll be health to all your flesh, Proverbs 4 says. It's, you know, somebody would be better off to eat the word than eat a natural food, a meal sometimes. Skip it and fast. Hey, moving right along. Plus, I've learned that my tongue is something that controls all that happens in my body, according to the book of James. It's a fire. It's set on fire, the very course of nature. It's set a hell on fire itself. Gets the devil excited when I start talking sickness and disease. In fact, I don't think I've said it to this day that I have what the doctor told me I had. I just don't agree with that. I will not say that. I was diagnosed as, but I don't have it. I don't claim it. I get around people, well, I have this, I have that. Well, don't take it. What are you doing having it? Send it back, amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I'm just giving you a message here today that will refresh some of your faith. And I know what this church is going through, believing with pastor and so forth. Just put all behind us now. It's a fresh day. Amen. Yes. Let's give hallelujah. Like I said, Pastor Bill is enjoying his reward. He and I go way back. I don't know if you know that or not. He used to work with me. We laid blocks and bricks together. I even helped lay block on this church. So I'm, you know. Some of you remember those days. Hallelujah. Or yeah, Luke, I'll find it. Give me a second. Luke chapter 5. Again, you have to have some answers to some questions you may have before you can receive. Or you'll doubt. And guess what happens when you doubt? James says, if you doubt, you'll not receive anything from the Lord. So you can get to the place where you don't doubt anymore, man. You just know that you know. It's a great place to live. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Again, I will is the eternal answer to that question. I will. This leper had to have that answer to that question before he could receive healing from Jesus. Now, he had heard about Jesus, evidently, healing other lepers, because lepers lived in colonies. You know, in fact, if you were a leper, you went out in public, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, so people wouldn't get close to you. Nobody ever touched you. Can you imagine that? That kind of mindset he was in. But he heard of Jesus. But he had the question. He knew he was healing others. He was able to heal. Most people, I would say 100% of Christians believe that God's able to heal. But is he willing to heal me? When you get that answer to that question, and there's no more doubt, you'll receive and you will amend. Yes. You will become better. That word amend means to have it better. And you will recover, as Matthew 16 says in Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Leprosy is a horrible disease. How many of us have seen leprosy? When I first met, I didn't meet Bill over in, maybe I met Pastor Bill in India. I don't know. 1979, I think. Was he traveling to India at that time? I was there. We were with Sam Smucker, some other guys. But we prayed for the lepers. And they would come back the next day and say they're healed. Show us how they're healed. You get in a mission field, they don't have doctors to trust in and medicine. They just, you know, we had people with elephantitis, you know, when you swell up. Come back a few days, they were back normal. I had a lady that was blind. That you talk about getting your faith up to another level. You go over and preach to people like that and see those results. In fact, this lady was in a healing line, and I looked at her eyes, and they were just covered. I looked now. She probably had bad case of cataracts, or just in, you know, her eyes are like solid blue light. And I remember putting my hands in her eyes, and I was going down the line. All of a sudden, someone's down at my feet, hugging my feet. And I looked down. It was this lady. She came over, and I said, "The lady, the interpreter." She said, "I was blind, but now I can see." Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel." Amen. My feet were beautiful to her. I know I had sandals on, so it was hot over there. But see, we get to see those kind of things in foreign lands. When you get here in America, we're so full of doubt and unbelief. And, you know, it's tough to get people healed nowadays. You got to teach them. You got to preach it. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by that word that is spoken. Hallelujah. I know your faith is rising in this room here today as I'm preaching. Amen. Acts chapter 14, go there with me. So this man, once he had that answer to that question, he could receive. Jesus touched him. Man, that was a whole experience for himself to be touched by another person. And he was healed. Acts 14. I didn't look at the clock when I started, so we're all right, I guess. It's Paul's preaching here. You know what Paul's preaching? He's preaching the gospel. Amen? Good news. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. So again, you can see faith sometimes in people. You can sense it. I've been praying for the sick and diseased for 50 years now, probably. And there's some people you can just tell that they receive. There's other people, it sort of bounces back at you. But this man received because Paul sensed it, and he jumped up. He put some actions with his faith. You know, actions are important.
That's
right. Maybe we don't talk. And I said, I was raised in a church where they put a whole lot of emphasis on the action part and not so much on confession and the other parts that are necessary. Amen. And, you know, we threw away our medicine. We broke, you know, I was in service where they, if you came in a wheelchair, they busted the chairs, the spokes out of your wheelchair, you know. That's how they used to do in those days. It was old Pentecostal churches. Break your crutches. You had glasses, they bust your glasses for you. You either got healed or mad, one of the two. But, you know, God would move. He would get results. I like to act out my faith, you know. There's times that I was sick. I didn't feel like standing. I refused to lay down and act like I was sick. I didn't want to make the devil think I was sick. You know, pretty soon the symptoms go away. Now you start talking about it. Well, I got this, I got that. Tell everybody, you're going to have it for a while. Talk about acting out your faith. I'm a big one on actions. You know, Barbara and I were talking the other day, you know, there's that old saying, if you were arrested for being a Christian, there would be enough evidence to convict you, you know. We need to act out what we believe. Amen? Yeah, I'll give this illustration. I gave it maybe here before or not, but I like it. It's bring it down with actions, how important it is. Who can I pick on here today? Brother Shane, you and I have ties on today. I wore this tie just for you. Amen. If you could go anywhere in the world on a vacation, where would you go? He's thinking. No money. Money's not the case. Whatever you want. Italy. Okay. Shane comes to me and says, "Pastor Dave, I'm going to Italy." I hear him say that. I'm thinking, oh, that's good. Great. Next day I see Shane. He says, "I got my passport so I can go to Italy." I'm thinking, he's going to Italy. He's acting out what he believes. Next thing you know, I don't know what they wear in Italy, but he's buying Italian clothes, so he's not too obvious. Yeah, he got some Italian shoes on. You know. I said, this boy's going to Italy. You know, I believe that's the way it is with God. God hears us say this, and we say that. Then he sees us doing something. Yeah, I think they mean it. I think they believe what they say. That's how familiar that term. And believes what they say. Shall say on this mount. All right. See, it's important you act out what you believe. Amen. People say, oh, I believe in being blessed. I say, well, then tithe. Oh, it got real quiet on that one. You know, if you believe that God wants to prosper, you got to tithe. And so offerings and give alms. That's how you get it. Moving right along. Hallelujah. I'm only sharing this because I love you people down here. Amen. I feel like I'm part of this group here. I've been here, been preaching here at men's conference and several times here, so. Hallelujah. Where are we at here? I think I stick to my notes, or I'd be off somewhere else. Acts 14. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. See, your faith affects what you get from God. Amen. Again, don't be double-minded. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of our tongues. So it's important you say what God has said about you. Amen. Let's go to a couple more scriptures here. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I like the book of Psalms. A lot of good stuff in the book of Psalms. You know, I was talking about long life earlier, and Jesus told me this one time in prayer. He said, he was talking about all the things he went through for us. He became sick that we might be healed. He became poor, we might become rich. He was forsaken that I'll never be forsaken. And he said, I lived a short life so you could live a long life. It's all in the substitutionary, what Jesus went through. You got to hold on to those promises at the time. The devil's trying to kill you. Amen? Amen. Psalm 145. Everybody there. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Say, full of compassion. He don't just have a little bit. He's full of it. We say, people, well, you're full of it. Well, he's full of compassion. And of great mercy. Say, great mercy. See, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Amen. Aren't you glad for mercy?
Yes.
And grace is getting things that we don't deserve. That's a good other study altogether. He says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Again, he's slow to anger. He's of great mercy. He's full of graciousness or mercy. Again, that's what Jesus went about doing good and healing, because he was full of God's compassion. God hates sickness and disease and what it's done to his creation. You understand that? I mean, I've seen people with dying on their deathbed that had cancer. Just, it's terrible, you know. Someone you wouldn't even recognize anymore because of how much weight they lost and just how their body has just deteriorated under that spirit of cancer or whatever. It's a horrible thing, and God hates it because we're created in his image. The devil can't do it on God, but he can get it on us if we allow him. Amen. In fact, Isaiah 29, I want you to go to this verse here. A little obscure verse out of the Old Testament. Isaiah. The Lord is rebuking these people this time because of what they were listening to. Wherefore, the Lord said, for much as his people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept. Men will teach you that God's up there with a big hammer trying to teach you, punish you. They'll teach you that there's generational curses and all kind of stuff. Read that sometime in Ezekiel about generation curses. He said that you'll not have to eat the sour grapes anymore in this New Testament. Amen? Amen?
That's right. Amen.
is your new creations. Old things have passed away. I don't have to suffer for the sins of my parents. Thank God for that. Amen. My parents were godly, but I'm sure they weren't perfect. Amen. But again, thank God for what Jesus did. In John 10:10, where the familiar verse, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that's in the context of the false teachings of that day. Jesus was talking about the devil uses the Pharisees and the Sadducees to bring false teachings that'll rob you and steal from you. And we've had that in the church. Thank God for Jesus. Again, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed them. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all thy benefits." Who what? Forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Not some of them, all of them. You say that word compassion, it means eagerly yearning. He's eagerly yearning. He wants you healed. He don't like to see you in the hospital bed or limping or whatever's going through you. He wants you up and around being a testimony of his power of health and healing. In John 17, 23, a couple of verses yet, I promise. Now I'm getting near my end. Be glad I use notes. That's just all I can say. You know, when you preach as long as I've been preaching and stuff, I could just keep going on and I could read the whole Bible to you and preach to you, verse by verse. Hallelujah. I like this prayer because Jesus was praying this for you and I. This is one of his last prayers that we have recorded for us. He's in the garden. He's praying for his disciples and those that would believe on him through the disciples. That's us. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You want a revelation? Get that one. That God loves you as much as he loved Jesus. The Father loves you as much as he loves the Son. Because you're sons and daughters now. That's what Jesus was praying for us, that we'd have that revelation. And when you get that, it's easy to receive healing. Because you know God is for you. Who can be against you? What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. He loves me. It's just my stupid thinking. I got to get my thinking in line with what he says in his word. Let me give you that verse in Ezekiel 18. I talked about the sour grapes. This is a good one. Nobody likes to eat sour grapes, do you? Ezekiel, I want you to show you this verse here quickly. Since I looked it up, we'll look it up. Since I find it. Ezekiel 18, right? Where the Lord came unto me saying, What mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. In other words, it's not going to happen in this New Testament. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is thine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, is not eaten upon the mountains, etc., etc. So then again, it's not for us to have to eat the sour grapes of past generations. There's teaching in the body of Christ about generational curses and stuff. And people go to seminars and this. You know, you're in Christ. You got a new covenant. Paid for by the blood of Jesus. Don't let them steal your inheritance. Amen? In fact, the Lord said this to me one time. I was thinking about judgment. How many believe there's still judgment? God is judge. He still judges things. Amen? But he said, in this new covenant, judgment is on individuals, not on groups. In the Old Testament, whole cities were wiped out. Today, it's upon individuals. Now, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm glad that your sin ain't going to affect me. Amen? So that's just a little thought for you. All right, one more verse, Luke 6, and I'm done. I'm never done. I just stop. No, but Pastor Bill, he wanted me to preach healing here. He said, preach some message on healing. He said, you have a revelation on healing. He's telling me it's on the phone. He could hardly talk. And I said, I will. I'll honor your wish, Pastor Bill. Luke chapter 6. He came down with them and stood in the plain, talking about Jesus. And the company of his disciples, the great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea of coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to what? Hear him and to be healed of their diseases. See, people don't want to pay the price of hearing. They came to hear and to be healed. I like to share the good news, share some scriptures with people before I even lay hands on them. I want them to hear the word because faith comes by hearing. That's why I like to preach on healing and then have the opportunity to pray for the sick, like we're going to do here in about a minute. You've heard how many came to be healed this morning? Anybody? Someone here has been suffering of an earache. Who is that? You have an earache. God wants to heal that earache in your ear. Don't come to me later like most people do. The anointing is here now. You want to be healed of that thing? You get some pain down the side of your right side of your face from your ear. Who is that? I hear God. I don't have trouble anymore. I know what he's saying. But it's a gift if you want to receive it. No? Suffer. Anybody? Left side? Well, get up here. That's close enough. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stretch our hands out towards her as I lay hands on her. How long have you been suffering?
It comes in comes
on your left side. Okay, I get myself turned around here. All right. Yes. Amen. In Jesus' name, I command this pain to be gone. And may it never come back because of our faith. Yes, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
By his stripes, we are healed.
I receive.
There it is. There it is. There's the anointing. It's healing and making you whole. It's yours. You got it. Take it home with you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.